from Matthew chapter 9, beginning with verse 9. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting in the tax collector's booth. "Follow me," he told him, and Matthew got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said, "It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." Please do be seated. We have been gifted with a guest today, I only sort of call you young guy because, you know, I have more gray than you. I know. Don't worry, time will help with that. I actually got the opportunity to meet this fella here actually 10 years ago in a major prophets class, actually. In fact, I have here his major prophets reading log. Because he had to, I make all my students read and then I make them put a sentence or two down so that they didn't just roll their eyeballs over the page, because we know how this works. Yeah, I read it, sure. So this actually, by the end of it, was his reflections on pretty much every chapter with the exception of six, because I didn't include six of them because, yeah, there's reasons. Not problems, it's just that the class started and we'd already covered the first six chapters. Of all of the major prophets, 20 glorious pages right here. I'll just leave this for you. So please welcome Brent Ron, the Reverend Brent Ron, missionary today to savage America as opposed to civilized Uganda or India. So, thank you.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for having us. It's an honor to be here. I first want to thank you. You guys have stood by us for quite some time. You've prayed for us, and we have felt it. We have needed it tremendously. And you guys have been such a blessing, such an encouragement to us to stick through the hard times and to continue to give God glory through the good times as well. So thank you for that. This is also a season we're asking that you would continue to pray because it's not easy. It's hard. It's hard leaving a land that we have now called home once again. We have lived in Uganda for 7 years. Our oldest daughter is 9, just about 10. We have been in missions for 9 years, serving in India and Uganda. And so this has been our life. It's been part of our dreams. Just thinking through some of the things we've been able to do, driving on gravel roads throughout the country of Africa, throughout Uganda, is what every boy dreamt of. And we're able to partake in that. Able to be part of a ministry that their entire theme is 2 Timothy 2:2. And it's Paul telling young Timothy, he says, the things that you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men that will likewise go and teach others. In other words, be ready to take a back seat. It's not about you. It's about something bigger, much more wonderful. Jesus said it this way, go and make disciples. of who? All nations. How? Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey what? All that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you even to the end of the age. Go and make disciples. Wow. What does that look like even? Right? A disciple is somewhat like a Christian word, right? That we float out there. And so often when we say the word disciple, all of a sudden our mind goes, what program can we use? Right? What's the newest and the best? And so often I would say, hey, World Missions has a great tool for you, Ambassador Institute material. And it's great. It's free for you to download and print. But discipleship is not about a program. What? It's not about a program. Part of what has been done already here at the service is a taste of what discipleship is. What did we do? We prayed. And as we look at who we prayed for family members, we prayed for loved ones, we prayed for neighbors, right? And one prayer request came of, I don't know where they stand. Right? That's the starting point. Let's look at our text again. So I'm going to bring a flavor of Ambassador Institute to you. Why? Because I think it's a good approach to look at Scripture. It's a great approach to start memorizing Scripture as well. So let's look at Matthew chapter 9 again. But before we do, let's pray once again. Father God, thank you for your word. Thank you for who you are. Thank you that in a world that's ever changing, and no doubt our country was shook to its core again, Father, we know that your word doesn't change. You do not change. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. So, Father, we pray that you would open up our hearts. Holy Spirit, that you would guide us into the truth as you were sent to do, according to John 16. So have your way within us. Give us a heart and a passion for those outside of these walls. We love you, Father. Help us to love you more. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we look at this text, Matthew has already called most of the disciples, possibly all 11 up to this point. He's already done some miracles. Possibly Sermon on the Mount has taken place. And here comes Jesus once again. And he comes up to a guy who was hated by most, a tax collector, probably still hated today. But we won't go there. But disliked. Why? Because he's a traitor. He's a traitor to his own people. He turned his back and is serving Rome and stealing from his own people. But Jesus comes to the most unlikely of people. He came to me. And he came to this guy named Matthew. You're going to be Matthew, okay? I'm picking on you. You're not my teacher anymore. Had to look at my paper. But it says, as Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at a tax booth. And he said to him, follow me. And he got up and followed him. Now, as they were reclining at the table with the disciples, behold, many tax collectors and sinners reclined with Jesus and his disciples. Now, when the Pharisees saw this, they said to the disciples, "Why is it that your teacher eats with tax collectors and sinners?" When Jesus heard this, he said to them, "It is not the well who need a doctor, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. For I came not to call the righteous, but sinners." Amen? Okay, God says in his word, "Your word have I hidden in my heart, that I may not sin against you." Right? And God's word is a truth from cover to cover, whether we like it or not. Because sometimes we don't, right? The Pharisees, there is something they didn't like here, right? Well, let's look at the text again. Third time. Why? Because sometimes I'm slow to hear. And maybe you're with me. But my prayer is today that we leave our time here ready and willing to share this story with the neighbor. Ready and willing to take the message home outside of the walls and be, what James says, doers of the word and not just hearers only. Okay? So let's look at it again. As Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at a tax booth. And he said to him, "Follow me." And he got up and followed him. And behold, they're reclining at the table in the house. And behold, many tax collectors and sinners reclined with Jesus and the disciples. Now, when the Pharisees saw this, they said to the disciples, "Why is it that your teacher eats with tax collectors and sinners?" Now, when Jesus heard this, he said to the Pharisees, "It's not the well who need a doctor, but those who are sick. Now go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. For I came not to call the righteous, but sinners." Amen? Matthew, you can go back. As Jesus passed on from there, he saw who? Matthew? I'm going to actually encourage you not to open up your Bibles. I am the teacher. I'm giving you the exam. And the reason why is this helps us challenge our brains. I'm wondering if we haven't done it enough in our nation. To challenge and see, it's in there. Let's recall it, okay? Saw a man named Matthew sitting where? At a tax collector's booth. And Jesus said to him, "You sinner, how could you possibly do this? Repent, give back to the poor." No, what did he say? "Follow me." And what did he do? He got up and followed him. Where did they go? It's interesting because the other Gospels have now included more information about Matthew. Matthew, known as Levi, Matthew doesn't record it. Why? We'll get there. Matthew, known as Levi, he got up immediately, other Gospels say, and they went to Matthew's house. Matthew doesn't record it. They reclined at a house. Who was with him? The disciples were with Jesus. Other tax collectors. What? We all know, for all have sinned and fall short to the glory of God, right? I hope you've taught on that. For all of, so they all are. Why does Matthew say sinners? Culturally, these are people who live in open, unrepentant sin. These are murderers. This is possibly, I may step on some feet, but probably not, LGBTQ+. People who live in open and unrepentant sin. This is people who openly sell pornography today. Okay, we can go down the list, right? And we're all guilty. We're at the table. I hope. Tax collectors and sinners were at the table. Who wasn't? The Pharisees. That's why I say I hope we are at the table. The Pharisees see what's happening. Were they happy? No. Who did they have an issue with? Christ. They had a problem with the Christ. Did they go to him? No. Who did they go to? Disciples. Okay, problem solving 101, don't go to other people. That's gossip. Okay? Within the church, please, guys, we're a family, we're a body of Christ. That's 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 13 is meant for the church to love. Let's go to that person. Why? Because we love them. We don't want anything in between. Pharisees went straight to the disciples. Why is this? He's getting dirty. Right? Jesus is good at getting dirty. Not inside. Praise God. So they say, why did your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? Who heard this? Jesus. Jesus heard it. He said what? It is not the well who need a doctor, but those who are common sense, right? When I stepped foot into the burn center, I wasn't expecting to see Pastor Hooper there in the bed, perfectly well and fine, right? I knew the situation. I knew what I was facing, right? This makes perfect sense. What is Jesus saying? We'll get to that. Jesus then says to the Pharisees, go and
figure it out.
Learn what it means, right? He doesn't say, dude, why don't you know what the scripture says? Open up your Bibles. Open up the scrolls. Come on. Turn to this book, this chapter, this verse. He doesn't say that. Why? The Pharisees would have known. Okay, maybe that's a good lesson for us in the church, isn't it? Here are Pharisees who know what God's Word says. There's Muslims who know the Bible more than most people within the church today. Lord, help us to be students of your Word. But not just up here. And that's the effect of what Jesus is saying. Don't just know it, but know it and live it out. Right? go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. I love the jingle can. This one doesn't jingle. Come on. But isn't that true? It's not sacrifices that God is after. He says it elsewhere, doesn't he? Sacrifices and offerings I do not desire, but a broken and contrite heart, O God. Right? That's a beautiful thing of Scripture. It all agrees with itself. God, would you help me to love you more? And as we love him more, we love our neighbor more. Why? We know the mercy giver. We can't do it perfectly, but that can't be our excuse. And so often it is, isn't it? What happens when I go to my neighbor and they're a drug addict? What do I do? They're lonely, my friends. They're seeking for a way out of maybe some disaster in their life. Guess what? We know the person who can bring hope. Right? The Messiah. Here is Christ, Him crucified on your behalf, the one who will never leave you or forsake you. Oh, but my dad abandoned me many years ago, they would say. I know a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And as a neighbor, would you forgive me that I haven't come quicker? Right? I desire mercy and not sacrifice. Oh, the Pharisees hated what they saw Jesus doing. They hated that Jesus was here sitting at Matthew's table. They shouldn't have been. Because this is the whole point of Scripture. Of those of us who know God, to long for others to follow Him as well. This goes all the way back to Abraham. You will be a blessing to all nations. Yes, it's a direct result of the Messiah coming from his line, but it was also a call for him to bring people into the faith. Go and make disciples. What does it look like? Do you need to know all the answers? We know the best answer, don't we? And maybe you're sitting here and going, oh, but I've failed so often. Come to the cross, my friend, where there is forgiveness and wholeness and the answers that we need. And God, would you give me that passion for that neighbor? I loved how you asked, was he ready? Would that be the question of every person we come into contact with? For I came not to call the righteous, but the sinner. Other Gospels, it includes unto repentance. That's a beautiful thing of our service already. We have come together as a family, as a body of Christ, and offered up a confession of sin. God, I have sinned. In thought, word, and deed. I have sinned by doing things leaving things left undone that you have called me to do. Jesus came for you to give fullness, to give purpose, but to give life because of the cross. Yes, he says, go and make disciples. My friends, it's not a program, but it's messy. It's not popular. It's hard work, and yet it's easy. What did Jesus say? To Matthew, follow me. Paul said it like this, follow my example as I follow that of Christ. Lord Jesus, would you awaken within me, awaken within your church. Lord Jesus, we confess that in so many ways the American church has been largely sleeping. Forgive me, Lord Jesus. We look at events like yesterday, and we cry and we wonder, how did we get here? Father, I don't have to go far from that mirror to realize that you have called me to make disciples. You have called the church to love on the weak, to love on the poor, to have mercy and compassion, even to the point of giving up of oneself and life. Yet so often I would rather do something to appease myself. Forgive me, O Lord. Forgive your church. Revive your church, Lord Jesus. Help us to have compassion and mercy upon those around us. Help us not to be like the Pharisee who wants to stone the person for doing anything. Help us to call the sinner to repentance and faith in you, while also running to the cross ourselves. Lord, we pray for Duluth. We thank you for the beauty of your creation in this area. How powerful Superior Lake is. How beautiful the woods are, the rocky shores. Forgive us, Father, when we turn our praise to creation instead of the Creator. Lord God, we pray that you use St. John's to be a light and a beacon for you. Oh, Father, that there would be salt in the community, that love would overflow from this congregation into the lives around us, Lord. That, Father, even the upcoming event in August would be a great opportunity of evangelism and outreach. But, Father, help us not to wait till that point. Help us to go out from here Give us opportunities to disciple. Give us opportunities to evangelize those who are around us. Father, would you fill us with the boldness of the apostles as they were in prison. And they said, for you, you judge between man. But we cannot help but to remain open and boldly speak the name of Christ. Lord, give us that boldness. Father, we love you. Help us to love you more. Help us to be students of your word. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to leave you with one testimony of what God is doing there in Uganda. And a picture of this in light of what's going on. So the Jorys are not going back. Our family is wrapping things up. We'll be finishing up our term with World Missions at the end of December. And many questions come of what does that mean for the work in Uganda? And I praise God for the team that we have there. We have a team that's been walking with the Jorys. The Jorys have served in Uganda for 18 years. We have a marvelous team there that have been eternally changed. So what's been going on? We've been doing Bible training that trains the people and empowers them to memorize 2,200 Bible verses in just 2 years. And we commission them at that point to go out and make disciples with this tool. We had a class on the lakes of Lake Chioga. It's a lake there. In a small town named Gayalira. This class was first taught by a man who would give up one weekend every month as a volunteer. He would travel 3 to 4 hours to go up and give the training. He trained this guy named Maka Stephen and his wife, who after graduating started a class of their own in the area. He trained this guy. She was ecstatic. He was so on fire for the Word of God. We were so excited to see what he would possibly do. We knew the grandfather of his in class, right? His spiritual grandfather. And we just marveled at what could be there. After graduating, guess what happened? We lost contact. Heard nothing from him until 2 years. He called up his teacher, Maka Stephen, and said, my class is ready. You're starting a class? Where have you been? We haven't heard from you. My class is ready to graduate. What? We need attendance. We have midterms. We have final. I know. I have all the records. Where are you? Bavuma Islands. This means nothing to us, right? If you look on a map, there's Uganda, Lake Victoria, and right off the coast of Uganda is a big island called Bavuma Island. If you go out throughout Uganda and mention Bavuma Island, they'll go, where? You're doing ministry where? We have a class on Bavuma Islands ready to graduate? Amongst the witch doctors? Uh-huh. This man, 6 months before he studied with us, was a witch doctor who was trained on Bavuma Island, did some training himself on Bavuma Island. He said, "I've done so much damage to my country and the kingdom of God. I'm willing to sell it all." You know what happens when you're rejected by a witch doctor? Uganda has a name for it. You're gone missing. They don't have any accountability. His class graduated 30 people. Last year, we graduated 230 people in Uganda. Only about a dozen was trained by us missionaries through the Book of Romans. This year now, we'll graduate about 115. Three of which was part of my class up in Gulu. God is on the move. God is at work. And sometimes we in America, we get discouraged, don't we? God is on the move. And He has called us now, you and me, to go out and make disciples. Lord, help us. Please stand if you're able and sing with us Thou Whose Almighty Word, hymn number 316. I'm going to take my paper and see what I wrote. I probably wouldn't have been as gracious as you.